establish boundaries. Remember, when we said that you got to let God set the standards of your life. And we use this verse that says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. So let's keep building on this, okay? Look at the next verse. Verse 10. I have tried hard to find you, so don't let me wander from your commands. That verse resonates in my life. I spent a lot of my life searching. Anybody else like that? Maybe if you were in a home that was absent of love, or maybe if you were in circumstances that were absent of joy, there was no doubt that at some point in your life you searched for it. You look for something to fulfill you and to satisfy you. And I wandered through a lot of my life, many years. Anybody else like that? You know what I'm talking about? And here it is. I like how the writer's saying this. Can you imagine? This is David, right? And David had a very flawed past and a very messed up past and things that he did. He had some great mistakes. And he says, hey, I tried hard to find you. And I like it. There's this dash, almost saying, and now that I've got you, don't let me leave. All right, don't let me leave. Can I say this? Now that you have the truth of God, now that you have the passion of God, you need to do everything it takes to stay there. The truth of God resonating in your life, do everything you can to be in that truth. And I like that prayer. I've searched hard for you, so don't let me leave. In other words, it's like, God, lock the doors and don't let me out. Put roadblocks up that will keep me from stumbling over those stumbling blocks of life. Put walls up that keep me from going places I shouldn't go. Lock doors that I should not open. Close down opportunities that I should not have. Make me yours and leave me there. So can I say this tonight? We need that desire to stay close to God. That desire to stay close to God will keep you away from sin. It's the moment that you lose the desire to be close that you start wandering through life. I mean, listen, the desire to be close to my wife will keep me from a desire to be with another woman. I mean, that's logic, right? The desire to continue to serve God will keep me from abandoning the ministry, getting out of my calling. All right, so may that be an anthem prayer of your life. God, don't let me stray. Don't let me wander away from your commands. Now that I've got them, let's hold on to them. So can I say this? What God is teaching you, don't soon forget. It's easy to get overloaded with information and forget what God has shown you. I mean, I know today in my life, I really have to focus on the things that God showed me this morning. If I don't do that, if I don't bring them into remembrance, I will forget them. And we say there's many ways and tools of doing that, writing things down. How many of you got a cell phone? Raise your hand. All right, you got that? All right, they have wonderful apps called voice memos, you know, turning those things on. As we were writing that song this morning, one of the people that were up there saying, hey, if we don't do something, we'll forget this. So they pulled out their phone and just recorded it. Sometimes I'm driving down the road, I can't text it to myself, I can't write it to myself. So I just record myself. And I just say, you know, this is what God has shared with me, this is what God's doing in my heart. And I put it out there, why? Because I'm going to need it. And if you're not going to wonder, if you're going to stay close to it, then you got to keep it close to you. You got to keep it on the forefronts of your mind. You got to put it in your remembrance. I've said this so many times. My bathroom mirror is loaded with sticky notes. All right. I mean, I start every morning in front of that mirror. And so on that mirror are truths that God has revealed to me through his word that I want to be reminded of to get through that day. And so I put them in places where I'll find them and see them. I put them in my car. I'll put them on my steering wheel. Depending on how bad the day is, you may walk into my house and there may be sticky notes over every wall, on every picture, on every door. I mean, it just may. Why? Because I want to stay close to the source of life. And God has been and is my source of life. Can y'all hear me? Are y'all good? Staying with me? All right, here we go. Let's keep moving on. It says this in verse number 11. I have hidden your word in my heart. So that I might not what? Sin against you. You know, if you really dissect this chapter, you're going to see right here about 6 or 7 quick things that David's saying, these are the things that I'm doing to stay where you have me, to stay where I want to be. So the first thing is I'm obeying your word. The second thing is I'm not wandering away. I'm going to stay close. The third thing is I'm hiding your word in my heart. Let's look at the next one. Verse number 12. It goes on and it says, so I praise you, O Lord. All right, can I say this? Your life will be absent of joy if it is absent of praise. It is the praise that keeps the joy flowing. The Bible says, and we use this verse a lot around here, the joy of what? The Lord is my strength. What activates the joy of the Lord? Praise. I mean, one of the things that we did while we worked in the building, and we had music going. And when we didn't have music going, Ross created music, all right? I mean, he would just start singing. And Ross and Bobby can, actually Harrison said that him and Ross and Bobby are starting a traveling singing group for the hearing impaired, all right? I mean, and it's pretty funny. And they should, and that should be the only people they invite, all right? They would just sing and just enjoy and praise and worship. You know, listen, there's something that praise does for you. It purposes your thoughts. It focuses a mind that oftentimes can wonder. You say, what can I do when my mind is just not minding, when it's driving me crazy? Start praising. It's hard to be bitter and angry when you're praising God. I mean, think about it. I did this with our teenagers in Illinois. And can I say this? I love to see the progression that we're having with our Illinois teenagers. There were 20 that showed up in the middle of summer up there, and that's hard to do. They have no evening services, and right now, and I meant to say this earlier, Pastor Brad at Family Worship Center desperately needs our prayers. They just removed an entire kidney of his that had a rare type of very aggressive cancer, all right? And so they said they got it all, and we're just going to claim that in Jesus' name, all right? And so, but in there, while we were talking to them, I got a text message that they actually had another group of kids that were 2 hours away, about four or five of them in their home, that came to our youth conference, that said that they were missing being involved. So they tuned in and watched us from the side. When we first started with this youth group, listen, we couldn't get them to talk for nothing. I mean, we could not. Am I right, David? They were like shut down, like fortified cities that you could not get into. And today I asked them this. I said, I want most of you to do this. I expected a few to give me a praise. Give me something you're thankful for. And man, they just started one after the other, just saying those praises. You cannot help but smile and have joy when you're thinking of the good things that God has given you. So let's practice that real quick, okay? I'm going to take 10 seconds because I want to keep going. Actually, 10 times 10. Let's go 100, all right? So ready? All right. Give me something. Let's blitz praise God. What is something that you can praise Him for right now? All right, family, money, all right? Somebody else? Health. What'd you say? Health, all right? How many of you... You know, one girl said life. I was like, yep, it's a whole lot better than me and dead. You know? I mean, anybody else? Knowledge, a job. Somebody over here. Salvation, change. First, second, third chances. And on and on and on. I mean, I don't know about your life, but man, we could all stop right there and say, yeah, that's a great one. All right, let's just, I mean, how many of you, it's like God gave you the cat of nine lives, right? I mean, it's just, but it just keeps going, man, God's grace and mercy. All right, give me a couple more. All right, say it. Grandkids, health. Who said food? I'm right there with you. Church. Hey, where's Ezra at? I told somebody today, I was like, hey, I'm sorry to tell you that, you know, you need to get plugged into the church to find your joy, but my whole life is about the church, and I'm going to tell you, I find great joy in it. I mean, do you enjoy each other? I mean, I do. The personalities that are here are incredible. Now, isn't that a good word to some? I thought about that. That's incredible. That means they could be weird and funky and messed up, but they're incredible. They're unique, right? But hey, it's just fun to hang out. I mean, I never thought I could work with people doing things that I hate and still enjoy the work. Like, I'm not a constructive guy. I mean, I know that you can't look at me and tell that. I'm just not a constructive person. But man, you get in there with the people that know what they're doing, and nobody's trying to be the chief. Everybody's just trying to be the servant. And man, it gets fun. It gets exciting. All right. And so listen, we need to get our praise on a lot more than we do. All right. And if you want to stay close to God, praise Him. And you're saying, well, does that make God close to me? No, 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 no. It just keeps your focus on Him. God's always close to you. You don't have to earn God's presence. God is near. But I'll say this, your praise will activate His presence. I mean, think about this. When you brag on somebody in your home, don't you get better results out of them? Oh, you're such a good kid. I love when you're obedient. Do you never say that? I mean, listen. Casey, she laughed at me earlier about my skinny. I'm sorry. Casey, you're a good kid. All right, and I'll get on my knees and ask God for forgiveness for lying. Yeah, I'm just kidding. No, but listen. How many of you have ever had that where you've used gratitude as your motivational tool? All right, have you noticed that gratitude will get you a whole lot more results than nagging? If you haven't noticed that, maybe try it. All right, put it to the test. It works with people. All right, but the Bible says when you come into God's presence, you know what He wants you to come in with? Praise. Thanksgiving. I mean, we live in a world that only focuses on the things we don't have and on the things we don't like. Stop it. Start focusing on what you do have and thank God for what He has done. There's a lot in our lives that's good. A lot. All right? So look at the second part of that. So he's saying this. Not only is this number four, praise Him. Number five, teach me. Teach me your decrees. Now, you know what that is? That's a weird prayer. That's saying, give me your rules. Like, establish your rules in my life. I don't know if I've ever gone to somebody and said, I want rules. Anybody else in here done that? Like, give me rules. Now, don't you wish you would ever, anybody else ever had the desire to, at some point in your life, go to the Autobahn in Germany and just be able to drive as fast as you want? All right? Anybody ever thought that when you get there, you don't want to be driving the car you own? You actually want to be driving like a high performance engine? Like, it's like, okay, God, one point in my life, maybe it's in, you know, when you set up your kingdom and you're making us rulers and governors and princes, maybe set me up in that area for a day so that I can get in a Ferrari and just go. You know, I just want to see what it's like. Now, I know me well enough to know this, that when I hit 85, I'm going to get terrified. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to get in there with the intentions of 100, 140. I'm going to hit 85 and then be praying to God for an exit. I mean, it's going to blow my mind. But in there, here's what David's saying. He's saying, hey, God, teach me the rules that I need in my life. Teach me, like we talked about this morning, the boundaries. Set the limits for me. When's the last time you asked God to limit you? You know, I like this. I heard a preacher say, and I can't remember who it was, I wish I could quote him, but I heard a preacher say, you know, I get on my knees often and tell God to only give me what my faith can handle and still stay intact. And he said, and I'm not talking about trials, I'm talking about the blessings. Only give me the things that will keep my faith intact, to where I still believe in you and I still trust you and I still need you and I still desire you. Don't give me $1 more, 1 ounce of time more, 1 ounce of freedom more. Don't give me one thing more that would destroy my faith. I thought, what a brilliant prayer. God, I don't want to lose what we've got. So teach me my limit. And God, I'm okay to stay there. You know, now what you find is there's a very limitless God. And what he does is he doesn't set this barrier. He doesn't come to Kimberly and say, Kimberly, this is all the success I got for you. He says, okay, Kimberly, this is the success I have for you now. And I will teach you through that success how to be more successful. And then he trains us through that and raises us up. And so, hey, God, set my limits and then blow the top off of it as you teach me. As I can handle you, give me more. As I can handle your blessings, pour them out. But not until I can handle it. All right, now look at this. Keep going. It says, verse number 13. Look at this practice. I've recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. Now you see what he's saying this. I've hidden your word. I've praised you. And I've recited aloud the things that you have shown me. Now, when's the last time you audibly spoke the word of God? Now, you know that there's actual proven studies that say when you speak it in memorization, you will actually memorize it faster than when you just try to internally learn it. All right, why is that? Because you're using your senses. Your ears hear it. Your mouth is saying it. It's a spoken word. The power of life and death is in your tongue. The filtration of your thought goes through your eyes and your ears. So if I'm reading God's word and speaking God's word, I'm hearing God's word. So all the gates of my mind are open to what? God's word. You know, I like songs that are written from Scripture. I love them. They're some of my favorites. You know, The Great Are You Lord. You know, that has a bunch of scriptures. We sang it tonight, built into the song. You know what I call those songs? Pure. Why are they pure? Because they're directly from Him, directly about Him, directly to Him. You know, and I love, you know, that one line of Healer. Nothing is impossible for you. Where's that come from? Straight from Scripture. You say, well, why is that important? Because it means it's something worth standing on, and it's not just fluff to make you feel good or to make your life. It actually has a principle behind it. It actually has a truth. Amen. Amen. You know what happens when we quote the Word of God? Satan trembles, flees, and is defeated. What did Jesus do during his temptation? Quoted Scripture. He resisted him through the Word instead of through his will. Now, listen. The Word of God never loses its power, but your willpower will. All right? And if you're resisting Satan through your willpower will run out. But if you're resisting him through the Word's power never. The Bible says, forever his Word is established in heaven. I mean, it is. There is no question about it. You know, it'd be good for you to find a quiet space in this world that you get in sometimes and just quote, read, and speak the Word of God. I love getting in nature, all right? Now, when I say getting in nature, let me clarify before you start inviting me on camping trips and all this other stuff. My version of getting in nature is like a park, all right? So I like going to a place with a view or the overlook at the dam over here. I love sitting there and reading out loud God's Word. You know, I like just the other night we stood and I just took my hand, put it up in the sky, and it says, and he measured the stars by the span of his hand. And that's the tip of your thumb to the tip of your pinky. And when God threw all the stars out, and Bobby said, I like to call the stars God's glitter. You know? And it's just, when he threw them out, his measurement for the sky was just the span of his hand. And I told him, I said, bring the hand as close as you can to your face, and you still can't capture all the stars in that span. And I sit there and I think about, what an amazing God. What a majestic God. What a powerful God. And if his hand is large enough to measure the entire sky, the entire universe, our ecosystem, everything, then man, that verse comes true of my Father which gave you to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. Why? It's a big hand. All right, that's a powerful hand. All right, yes. Doesn't it do something for your soul just to hear it? I mean, didn't you come to church to hear the Word of God? All right, now listen. When's the last time you've implemented that into your study? You know, to where it's not, you know, God, your word is hidden in my heart to keep me from sin, but your word will come out of my mouth to protect others too, to keep them and to resist Satan, to do those temptations. So let's not just bring praise of worship. Let's bring praise of quote and scripture and goodness of God. And so look at this. Keep going. We're almost done. All right. This is one of those nights I'm having fun, so be careful. I say we're almost done. I don't know if that's true. It says this, verse number 14. I've rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. Meaning, your word is as valuable to me more than anything else. I'd rather have this than money. That this, you know, God, if I won $357, if that $1 million, what is it, mega, whatever, tonight, if I was to come into all of that, your word would still be the love of my life. Now that would just be a tool that you've given me. It would not be what I need to survive. It would be an avenue of worship, an avenue of giving, an avenue of praise, because your word, that's what I need. I mean, think about this. Where would we be had we not had access to the Word of God? Where would we be if God's Word was completely... I'll tell you exactly where we'd be. We would be in what they called the Crusades. We would be in what they called the domination of the Roman Catholic Church, to where it was illegal. You were literally martyred for allowing the Word of God to be in common language. Why? Because they were able to have complete authority because nobody was able to understand Scripture except for the priest, except for the people in charge. And you know what happens when somebody does that? They manipulate the Scripture. And they use the scripture to justify murder. And they use the scripture to justify. Aren't you glad that God's word was made available to you? Yeah, were you raising your hand? Yeah, say it again. Say it loud. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's the truth. All right. Aren't you glad that God's word is the absolute power? And absolute. Here's the good thing. When God has absolute power, he perfects the corrupted. I mean, he reverses that cycle. All right. And so in there, it's saying, hey, look, you know, I'm not only going to hide it in my life. I'm not going to speak it. I'm not only going to praise through it, but I'm literally going to value it. I mean, how valuable is the word of God to you? I mean, in all honesty, if it's valuable, you hold it close, right? If it's valuable, you keep it in sight. If it's valuable, you put an extreme effort and energy into maintaining it. You say, well, the word of God's valuable to me. That can be gauged by how much you're in it. That can be gauged by how much you're putting into you. All right, just a couple more verses. Let's keep going. I want to... This whole chapter, read it, but I don't know if you know anything about Psalms 119. It's one of the longest chapters in the Bible. I don't think we'll get through all the thoughts tonight. So let's keep looking. Two more verses. It says, so I will study your commands and reflect on your ways. So, okay, I'm confessing it, I'm praising, I'm quoting it, I'm doing these things, I'm speaking it, but I'm going to study it and then I'm going to reflect it. I'm going to take what I'm learning and put it into practice. All right, so if Bill's verse is Isaiah, and he's saying those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength, they'll mount up on wings like eagles, they'll run, all those things, then what's the application of that verse in life? Well, it starts with the word that most people hate. Be patient. You know, trust God. It may not be working out the way you think it needs to be working out, but that doesn't mean that it's not working out. It may be that God's working it out in a way that you're not capable of thinking and you're not capable of coming up with. See, God can see what you and I can't. God knows the plans he has for us and the plans the enemy has against us. And he is making preparations towards that. So I'm going to study your word, but let's take it a step further. I'm going to reflect it. How many of you have heard this quote? That your life is the only version of the Bible that most people will ever read. You know, that's a powerful quote. It's the only version that a lot of people will ever examine. So do you exemplify the word of God? Or is the word of God hidden because you don't live it? All right? And that's what we're calling you to do, is to be examples of reflections of God's love. Let's look at this last verse, and then we're going to send you home. I will delight in your decrees. I will not forget your word, Gimel. All right, listen, we talked about this morning, so I'm not going to stay a long time on it. I am thankful for a God that has set rules to protect me. And I may not like the rules all the time, but I do like the protection. I do like the provision. I do like the change that it's brought in my life. So I will delight in it. I'll be happy about it. So when God says something that goes against the way you're living, be happy that God has revealed to you what needs to be changed in you. And when God shows you something that makes you kind of get up and go live a little bit more, then be happy that God has motivated you to step out and to do the things that are necessary in life to be successful. All right? You know what? We can sum this whole verses of scripture up with one thing. The word of God is so good. You need it. You got to have it. Try not to live without it, because truly living through it is the only way to come alive. All right? I can't remember who said it again. I think it was Johnny Hunt. He says, we create human swords that all they're capable of is cutting and killing and hurting. But God's sword is the only one that you can be stabbed with and come to life. And the Bible says that your armor, that is your sword. That's the way to get through. So how do I live? Through the word of God. All right, so bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's do some time of reflection. How many of you tonight need that verse number 10? As we study that and we look at it, it needs to come back to that verse number 10. To where it says, hey, I've tried hard to find you, so don't let me wander from your commands. Is there anybody here tonight that maybe your desire is to say, God, Help me to love your word more, to desire it more, to seek it more, so that I can embrace in life what you have designed for my life. Anybody like that tonight? Say, I just want to love it more. I just need it more. All right. So here's what you need to do. Make time for it. Make time for it. You know what? I love my wife, so there's things I need. I need to make time for my wife. I love my son, so I need to make time for my son. And if I love God, I should make time for him. And if I love the word of God, I need to make time for it. Some of you need to go home and set your alarm clocks to get up 30 minutes earlier tomorrow. You say, but I need my sleep. You need the word of God way more than you need that 30 minutes of sleep. And you say, well, I just don't want to get up so early. Listen, you will make happen the things you want to happen. Am I right? How many of you have been totally exhausted, but somehow could still sit through a movie? Because you really wanted to see it. Am I right? How many of you have been totally exhausted but had the energy to walk into the restaurant and to eat the food because you were high? You know what I'm saying? Hey, you have the time to do the things that you want to do. So please make time for the things that'll give you the energy to do what God wants you to do. Man, may you come alive as you grow in God. Stand and grab somebody's hand. Let's close in a word of prayer. I do, again, want to say thank you to every person who works so hard to get our children's facility where it is today. I don't know how we could have ever done it without you. I do, again, want to say thank you to Sissy and Alan and Robbie, Carly and Libby for picking up these chairs and getting them in. I told they're very. How many of you would agree they're more comfortable? All right. Yeah, would you agree? I would say five people definitely agreed with that this morning. They were totally asleep. The whole service. I mean, it's just, I told people, I said, we have made it easier for you to sleep in church now. That could be our tagline, all right? You know? But anyway, I'm just kidding. Yeah, oh no. All right, listen, there's so much to be thankful for, you know? And can I give you a little update? We bought these, and immediately we had a problem of what do we do with our old ones? And so we're literally looking for a church or ministry in need to give them away. We're not trying to make money back off of them. One church has already come in and got 60 of them just the very next day. And so I look at that and it's like, when God blesses us, let's decide to be a blessing to someone else. And so would you pray that those others find a home? All right. And let's pray that God, I mean, I think about it. How cool is it to pray over chairs as they go out of your church that God fills them? And that God puts lost souls in them. Man, isn't that an awesome thought? You know, and so I'm praying for you that as you go out, that God fills you. And then that this week, like we said this morning, that God spills you. And as he spills you, I'm praying somebody's blessed because of it. All right, let's pray. Let's get out of here. God, we love you. We thank you for this day. And we thank you for who you are. You are such a good father. And so we thank you for the blessings that you've given us, the day that you've given us. God, I pray that you'll make this a night of rest. So that we can be refreshed and renewed and ready to go and tackle the things that you have for us this week. May our lives be instruments of reflection. May we reflect you in everything that we do. May your word be made alive in us. And then may it be read through us as we act it out in the ways that'll make an impact in somebody's life. God, we thank you for all that you are and for who you are. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Invite somebody, go get some kids, invite them to come to Bible school 1 week from tomorrow. God bless you. Get out, shake hands with one another.